That's not the end of it. This is all done at once. These are like, if you or I were to go to a real teacher, this is what they'd tell us to do. So those are two things. Third thing, meditate on suffering as the universal human condition. Meditate on suffering as the universal human condition. What's suffering? Birth, sickness, decrepitude, old age, and death. Facts of life, no way out, no way around them. A lot of suffering involved in all of it. It's a universal human condition, suffering. Meditate on suffering. And you do it in such a way that you're not meditating on your own suffering. You're meditating on suffering as a universal human condition, so that when you suffer, you can insert your suffering into the human condition. You're human. You're not uniquely suffering. You're suffering because you're human. You're not suffering because of your neighbor or your husband. You're suffering because you're an unenlightened human being. Yeah. So meditate on suffering. Then all these disciplines have as their pivot, if we're going to a true teacher, bodhicitta. Why am I doing all these disciplines? So someday you can gain just a little bit more, so you can be just a little bit more helpful to your fellow human beings in terms of enlightenment. It might just be some small thing that you've discovered that they haven't yet discovered that you can pass on. Then he says, having mastered all these paths, he said, even after the kaleidoscopic distractions and self-rationalizing temptations of the world have been set firmly aside, so you set aside all the kaleidoscopic distractions of all this, and you've given up all your rationalized temptations, he says, the difficulties of the path only then begin to manifest themselves. Yeah. So after you've overcome the world and all the rationalizations you use to participate in the world, if you can cut all that loose, then the difficulties of the path begin to manifest themselves. And this is why he says, in the real thing, you need a teacher. Because only a teacher knows all the pitfalls. And without a teacher, you're probably going to fall. And so he knew every possible pitfall. Each aspirant has to develop their own intuitive sight, their own power to see. But the teacher instructs and adjusts along the way. So his entire teaching was rooted in what's called guru yoga, having a teacher. It's like, if you want to learn how to play the piano, unless you're Mozart, you're going to save a lot of time by having a teacher who already knows how to play. Because they can save you a lot of time. And if you've already learned, you know, you've done it on your own already, and and now you go to a teacher, it's doubly difficult because they have to have you unlearn everything you've learned so you can get going for real. I mean, sometimes you even see this on TV, like sports. You know, they'll be interviewing some famous tennis coach, and he'll say, "I'd much rather get someone from scratch than someone who's already been playing on his or her own for a while. Because if I get one of the latter cases, I have to unlearn them, everything they've learned so far, so they can start from scratch and learn the right way. And because they've already fallen into a lot of the pitfalls, and they don't even know it. So it's analogous. In other words, in some sense, a spiritual life isn't any different from anything else. Teachers are necessary. Tsongkhapa had teachers. I mean, he was ready to learn at three, but the teacher was there. Okay. Just a couple more things, if you don't mind. He said that the nature of reality and man, human beings, he says, are a microcosm or a mirror image of reality itself. It's in the Bible that's known as man created God in his own image. I mean, God created man in his own image. But the esoteric interpretation is that everything in the universe is contained within every human being, which is why a human being who knows him or herself fully knows the universe. Science is going at it the other way around. And they're up against it now because they don't know where to go from where they are. But he says nature and man are sevenfold. Seven planes of quote-unquote reality, the physical being the grossest, material, etc. He says it's the correlations between principles and planes and beings that constitute spiritual knowledge. The correlations between principles, different principles of human nature, planes, and beings that constitute spiritual knowledge. And he says of this knowledge, every sacred truth which the ignorant are unable to comprehend under its true light ought to be hidden within a triple casket concealing itself, as a tortoise conceals his head within his shell, ought to show her face but to those who are desirous of obtaining the condition of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, the most compassionate and enlightened heart. His wish was not that the truth should be hidden, but that the degradation of truth through abuse should not be allowed for fear of the terrible attendant karmic consequences. And that's why real teachers will only teach you what you're ready for. It's not because they're hiding something from us, is to protect us from using it ignorantly and creating serious karma for ourselves. And lastly, two things. There's something called the Tsongkhapa Pledge, which I'll read to you. Some people in different traditions take this pledge. Through whatever merit I have accumulated, by love immortal, harmony in act, patience, effort, meditation, and wisdom, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all living beings. So that's called the Tsongkhapa Pledge. And then lastly, this his good friend, Randhawa, who went through his life with him, who was both his teacher and pupil. To this day, there are people who say this mantra to Tsongkhapa. And they're calling him all these different things because he embodied all these elements. Avalokiteshvara, mighty treasure of immaculate love, Manjusri, Lord of Stainless Knowledge, Vajrapani, Destroyer of the Demon Host, O Sankapa, Lamsang Japka, Crown Jewel of the Sages of the Land of the Snow, humbly I request your blessing. So he's the greatest being in the history of Tibet. And we have Dalai Lamas because of him. We no longer have crusades because of him or inquisitions. It's said that it will be centuries before his actual impact, historical impact, is understood, especially in the West.